Hey, man. Well, get this on here. It's such a privilege to be back again this morning. I didn't foresee that, and sure hate it's only circumstances, but I sure appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it's good to see y'all again, and excited about the new baby and all that stuff that goes along with that. So I'm thrilled with that. I hope that's off, brother. And appreciate all of you being here, and so good to see you that did not see last week, visitors, people. What a blessing that is.
Amen.
And I'm certainly grateful for the chance to come, and I hope somehow we can be a blessing to you while we're here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there with me, if you will, in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pray with me. Lord, help me know what to leave out and what to say this morning. I've got more than I can say in one message, so I want to be mindful of the time and also be aware that the Lord would lead me in certain directions and say what he wants me to this morning. And I want to address a particular issue out of this passage of Scripture. We're all familiar with these verses in 2 Timothy 4, and So I like to deal with Scripture people are familiar with a lot of times. And so you can already have your mind set in place and things like that. So let's begin reading in verse number 1, if you will, please, of this Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. That's as far as we'll read this morning. I want to take my thoughts this morning, if we can, out of verse number 7. Verse number 7, and Paul here is writing some of his last words. He's getting ready to be offered, he said. He's getting ready to die. And he's not dying because he got caught robbing a bank or doing something illegal or ungodly, but he's dying because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he has come to that place in his life where it's not going to continue any longer. He continued as long as the Lord wanted him to. For whatever reason, in the Lord's plan and in the Lord's mind, he's going to allow Paul to be killed at this particular time. And a lot of times, you know, we take the last words of someone very serious. And I thought, you know, if I was laying on my deathbed and was able to speak to people and say what I would like for them to remember or whatever, I wonder what I would say. But this is what Paul said. And he said here, I have fought a good fight.
Amen.
I have fought a good fight. And that seemed like something kind of peculiar for a man to say in his last breaths and his last moments here on earth. But that's what he chose. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote that and penned that down in the Scriptures. And so I want to deal with that thought this morning, if we can, about Paul's fights. What did he mean by that? I have fought a good fight. What was he talking about? Well, I want to look at that for just a little bit this morning, if we can, and try to encourage us a little bit this morning in the things of the Lord, because, beloved, we are in some perilous times.
Yes, sir, we are.
And so we must be ready. We must be prepared.
Yes.
And as the brother talked this morning about Gideon and all the things there, it's always been a warfare for Christians.
Yes,
now, in the Old Testament, they had physical warfare fights. And that was a picture of what we're going to experience in the New Testament. We don't have physical fights now. and it may come to that. I don't know what will happen, but we have spiritual fights. And so we learn from the Old Testament and learn how to implement it into the spiritual aspect. And Paul, as far as I know, never got into a physical altercation with anyone as far as himself concerned, but they sure applied a lot of physical means to him in this battle that he was in. But after all this that he said here in this book, and he comes down to the end of it, and his life is about to end here in this life, he said these statements, "I have fought a good fight." And I want to try to look at that if we can just a few minutes this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. And thank you for the blessing of the Sunday school hour. And I pray that you please help us now as we look into thy word. That, Lord, perhaps you could use me to say something this morning that would be beneficial to this congregation. Please help the preacher, Lord, feel better. And I pray that you please, Lord, touch us this morning. Lord, for those that are not saved here this morning or may be listening, I pray that you'd please, Lord, open their understanding to the truth of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that they would come to the place where they'd rather have Jesus than all the world and all that the devil has to offer. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, see someone saved by the grace of God. And although I'm speaking and preaching to those that are saved this morning, Lord, you can take whatever the Word of God has to say or something that's been planted before and speak to their hearts. May you please, God, do that. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Paul here is giving his, some people call farewell address, whatever you might want to call it. And he uses these words, "I have fought a good fight." I don't think Paul's bragging here. I think he's making a statement of what has happened to him in his life. Now, I know we live in a very sissified era, and fighting is something that you don't hear about much anymore. And when I was growing up, of course, I'm old as dirt, you know, and when I was growing up, it was nothing to see people in a fight at school, you know, and then they'd be playing ball the next day together, you know, in some situation. I've seen adults fight growing up, get in a fight, and I could tell you about some of that. That's not my emphasis this morning. But fighting has always been a means of accomplishing an end. That's what you're hoping for. And Paul did not just simply, he wasn't just simply trying to start a fight. But in doing what he did, it became a fight. And I think we live in such a watered down, Christianity now that nobody wants to get in a fight. But if you just look around a little bit and read the scriptures just a little bit, you'd see that it's always been a fight.
Yes, sir.
Living for God has never been easy. It's never been a bed of ease. It's never been a way of passiveness. But it's always been a fight for those that wanted to live for God.
Right.
I wish it wasn't that way.
Yes, sir.
I'd much rather people like me than to dislike me. But if you're going to stand for God, you might as well realize, you might as well come to grips with the understanding that you're going to be in a fight.
Yes, sir.
And I've heard people use all kinds of things, you know, different verses, trying to sissify the churches almost. They use scripture out of context and do all kinds. They'll use this verse a lot. Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Well, it's not too exciting there, is it? But that's what the Lord told him. And he said, "Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That don't mean you sit around and coo like a dove. Be timid. It's not something what it means. The word wise means to be mindful of one's interest. We've got an interest involved in this thing. It's to give out the gospel, the truth of the word of God. And the word harmless means, speaking of the mind, it means to be innocent, free from guilt. And when he sent them into those wolves, he wanted them to be right with God so they could portray the truth without any hindrances on their own part. You know as well as I do, if you come into services and you haven't prayed like you should, you haven't read your Bible, you haven't been active, you've been maybe doing things that were not productive spiritually, it affects you when you come to church. If you've got a guilty conscience of something maybe you did do that you wasn't supposed to do, you can't get involved in church and worship and living for the Lord like you should. And so Paul, the Lord told them here, you make sure you're right with God. Be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. That doesn't mean to be passive. The word passive means not opposing. It means suffering without resistance. And we should not be passive Christians. We don't go out looking for a fight. I'm not looking to punch anybody in the nose. But I am looking to the fact that when we give out the truth of God, we're going to face opposition.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened to Paul. That's simply all that happened, that he gave out the truth of the Word of God, stood for what was right, and in doing so, he faced great obstacles in his life.
Yes.
It was a battle. He calls it here a fight. Now, he was a very determined man, Paul was. He wasn't somebody you could just push around. When he was lost, he was a very determined man. But that translated over to when he got saved, he was determined when he lived for God.
Amen.
And in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. The word fought there means to contend, to struggle with difficulties and dangers, antagonist to the gospel or opposing the gospel. Paul was a man that was going to give forth the truth, but he came to the place where he realized, I have been in combat with those that oppose the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also says, I have not only fought, but he said, I have fought a good fight. The word fight means any struggle with dangers, annoyances, or obstacles standing in the way of faith, holiness, and a desire to spread the gospel. So if you have those desires to live for God and live holy and promote the truth of God and to live for God, you're going to have obstacles in your life. We're going to face battles. We're in a fight, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. There could be a man in a warfare, be out on the front line holding his gun and refuse to believe that he's in a fight. But whether he refuses to believe it or not, he's in a fight. And so we must come to the place where Paul did and understand that we are in a fight in this Christian life. Now, to be honest with you, the world don't care a whole lot what we do inside of here. We can meet and we can say anything we want to, you know. They're not real concerned about it. But when they're confronted with the truth, that's why sometimes even church people, when they're confronted with the truth, They are in opposition to that truth and cause trouble or whatever the case may be. But that's what happens. And Paul said here in this passage of Scripture, he said, I have fought a good fight. Look over across the page here, if you have Scofield, in chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy, verse number 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a, what, soldier. Soldiers are men that fight. They're equipped to fight. They're taught to fight. They're trained to fight. And the church is a place where we are trained to fight. Now, back in the Revolutionary War and those things, back there in those times, the preachers taught the men how to physically fight.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And when the British came, they withstood them and fought against them. The preachers taught them how to fight.
That's right.
Well, we're not doing that now, but the preachers now are supposed to be teaching us how to fight when we go out into this battlefield called the world.
Yes, sir.
And you and I must understand we've come to that place where this world is no friend to grace.
Right.
Now, when I was a boy, and I was born 1960, so I know that's a long, long time ago, but there's always been opposition to the truth, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. I mean, we'd never heard of some of the sins that are going on now. And all of those sins, every one of them, are in opposition to the truth of the Word of God. And so Paul here, he's saying in his last words in this passage of Scripture, he said, I have fought a good fight. He didn't call it a bad fight, he called it a good fight.
Right.
I don't know why we have this idea that if we have to stand up for what's right, that it's bad. It's good.
Amen.
We're in a good warfare. We're in a good battle. A battle for truth and right. Amen.
Amen.
So in this passage of Scripture, Paul is letting it be known that he has fought a good fight. So I'm interested in this thought this morning. What's he talking about? What fight? Paul's fight. Really, it's every Christian's fight.
Yes, sir.
It's not just him. You say, well, he was a preacher. That really has not a whole lot to do with it. The fact that he was a Christian meant that he was in a fight, in a battle. Well, he was a man. Us women don't have to worry about that. Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you know how it is. You go to town and you're dressed modest and you're dressed like the Bible said. The stares you get and the snickers and all that. I'm telling you, that's opposition to the truth. So in this thought this morning, and I want to try to convey to you just a couple of things if we can this morning, some things that he was in a battle with, a fight for. First of all, he was in a fight against sacrilege or false religion. The word sacrilege simply means violation or misuse of what is dedicated or connected to God, that which is sacred. And he was in a battle, he fought against sacrilege, false religion. From the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, he fought against false religion. It was always prevalent. It was always there. Look back in chapter number 9 of the book of Acts with me for a moment. We'll turn just a couple of times. Acts chapter number 9, if you will. Acts chapter number 9. So, preacher, when we turn to Acts chapter number 9, we think of Paul's conversion. That's exactly right. The first part of chapter number 9 is Paul's conversion. But you don't go very far and you see Paul's in a fight. Look what it says in verse number 20 of chapter number 9 of the book of Acts. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Well, he didn't go far, did he? He learned early in his Christian life that he was in a fight. And it was so great they had to let him down in a basket at night just so he could escape them. And I'm telling you, from that moment on, Paul realized that he was in a fight. It didn't take him long. I'm telling you, going down verse number 26 here, and in verse number 29, look what it says. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Here again, after he's been let down, after he's escaped, he could have said, well, I better tone this down a little bit. It almost got me killed back over there. But he didn't do that. He said he spake boldly.
Amen.
He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Grecians. They went about to slay him. And in this passage of scripture, it says he disputed. It means to discuss or to reason with. But it also, in this passage of scripture, it also means to argue in opposition. They didn't just take it, what he said, lightly. They argued against him. They were opposed to his message. Now we must realize that the Jews, all their life, all their father's life and grandfather's life, had been under the old way, the old economy.
Right.
But now, Jesus has come and fulfilled all that.
Yep.
But they're not willing to accept Jesus.
Right.
So when Paul goes in and preaches about Christ, he is telling them that what you're doing now is wrong.
Yep.
And this is the way, the new covenant, the new and living way, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And Paul goes in to preach that to them and tell them to that, trying to help them. And what do? They rise up in opposition and not only just thrust him out sometime, but try to kill him.
Right.
I don't know that they didn't kill him when they stoned him that one time. He might have been dead and then God raised him up to keep on going. We don't know that, but they thought he was dead or they'd have kept throwing rocks.
Right.
So Paul went through much in his life to try to live for God and serve God. And throughout the book of Acts, you just follow his trail throughout the book of Acts. I mean, they stirred up people against him. They did all kinds of things to try to oppose Paul and his message. And Paul, he fought a good fight. And part of that fight was against sacrilege, against false religion.
Right.
That's what we're dealing with today.
That's right.
I mean, it's no different.
That's right.
It's not changed. We, as Christians, try to promote, and hopefully we're trying to promote the truth of God, but in doing so, you're going to be contradicting what other people think.
Right.
And you're not doing that to hurt them. You're doing that to help them, to bring them to the place of understanding. But they may not take it that way, and they may rise up against you. And you'll find out for sure that you are in a fight, in a warfare, in a battle. And so Paul here is teaching them, is seeing that for firsthand experience. And over, it talks about in verse chapter number 17, verse number 18. He said they came against him in that passage of scripture. Chapter 18, verse number 12. It said they rose, insurrection rose up against Paul. Hostile intent. On and on it goes about his fight against sacrilege, against false religion. And I'm telling you, beloved, the devil is a master at false religion.
Yes,
the devil has done all kinds of things to bring up confusion to people and make them think something other than the truth.
Right.
And there's always been that to some extent, but it seems like it's more now than it's ever been. And now even in our independent Baptist churches, certain things are accepted that would have never been accepted
right.
in years gone by. So now within our own ranks, we're in a fight.
Right.
I wish it wasn't so. I mean, when I first got saved, I got saved in 1982, so I've been saved 40 years now. And when I first got saved, we went to revivals all the time, never had to worry about hearing something wrong or unscriptural.
Right.
But you can't do that now.
Right.
You got to pretty much pick and choose where you go.
Yes, sir.
It ought not be that way.
Amen.
If everybody believes this book, everybody would believe the same.
Right.
So there's a discrepancy somewhere. So Paul said this, and this is kind of, he's just giving a list of things he's went through, the battles, the fights in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. He said, are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of my by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils amongst false brethren. All of that came into his life because of the gospel.
Right.
He suffered all those things. But he did not suffer in vain, because he suffered for something that was worthwhile for suffering for.
Yes,
he fought a good fight, he said, and part of the fight that he had was against sacrilege, false religion. He even had to deal with it in the churches. He wrote to the church of Galatia, and he said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Right.
He's fighting that in the church.
Right.
False doctrine, false religion.
Yes, sir.
That was part of his fight. Second of all, I want you to realize some of the things he fought against was sin.
Yeah.
That's not a real popular word today, but that's the truth.
Paul
fought against sin. We say, oh no, preacher, I've seen all those high and lofty verses and read through those passages of scripture where he lifted you up to the highest heights and exalted Christ. Oh, he did all of that. But he did not neglect dealing with sin throughout those passages of scripture. We can look every book of the Bible that he wrote and find out he was having to deal with sin somehow. Some way, some means that he was dealing with. And he didn't leave. We may not know everything that Paul preached and taught, but I'm telling you, it doesn't seem like he left any stone unturned.
That's right.
I mean, he wasn't afraid to deal with it.
Amen.
That's what got John the Baptist in trouble, because
right.
he dealt with sin.
Yeah.
That's what got Jesus in trouble, because he dealt with sin.
Right.
I'm telling you, over and over, the men of God in the scriptures, they were not afraid to deal with sin.
Amen.
It's not a pleasant thing. You don't like to do it. You wish you didn't have to, but sometimes it's necessary. The scripture I read to you in 2 Timothy there this morning said you have to rebuke from time to time. You have to deal with things. You have to deal with sin. It's not to hurt people. It's to help them. But in doing so, you find yourself in a battle. When you deal with sin in the church, you have to address something. Maybe somebody is guilty of something. The preacher may not even know it, but God's put something on his heart to deal with, and it hits home. Our response should not be opposition to that.
Right.
It should be, thank God, God cares enough about me to give him a message to help me and get right with God about it. But Paul, some of his fights were against sin. Start out in the book of Romans, you see that. Him dealing with sin in Romans chapter number 1. It's just not sodomy. It's a whole bunch of stuff he lists there in that passage of scripture. First Corinthians chapter number 6, he deals with verse number 9 and 10, lists a host of sins there to deal with. I mean, he dealt with them over and over and over throughout his entire ministry. Paul dealt with sin. That was part of the fight that he had. I'm telling you, even those that said they were part of the church, he said, if they've caused division, you mark them.
Right.
Dealing with sin. Over and over, whether it's sinners or whether it's those that call themselves saints, it does not matter. A man of God must deal with those things. And here Paul said, I have fought a good fight. And when I think of the fights that Paul was involved in, some of them was about sin.
Right.
And I'm telling you, he came to a place, he said, there was a time you'd have plucked out your eyes for me. He said, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Right.
So Paul, in his battles, in his fightings, in his life for God, he came to the place where he would stand for what was right and found himself in opposition. Those opposed him, and in preaching the truth, he opposed them.
That's right.
And so we see Paul, some of his fightings were against sin. We also notice, if you'll turn with me, 1 Thessalonians. Turn there with me for just a moment, if you will, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look here for just a moment, if you will, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 18, if you will. Wherefore, we would have come to you, but I, Paul, once and again... but Satan hindered us. He found himself fighting against Satan.
Yes, sir.
Now, we know those scriptures, and we could deal with those. Who are you? You know, the devil. But he knew who Paul was. And I'm telling you, Paul, as he tried to strive to do what God would have him to do and march forward for God, I'm telling you, Satan opposed him. Satan hindered him from doing that which God wanted him to do. He was in a constant battle with the devil. I mean, it was continuous. You ever feel that way? Sometimes it just feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, can't we get a break? Can't we get some kind of relief? The devil seems like he is bombarding us, and he will do that. We are in a battle and a fight against Satan and everything he's about. So in this passage of scripture, we see that Paul fought a good fight against Satan. This is what he says in Ephesians 6. We know these verses, but he said this. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's instructing the believers here at Ephesus to get ready because they're going to be in a fight with the devil. And he says, protect yourself. Be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. In that passage of scripture, he said against. That means of a hostile direction. We can't just be timid. We can't just go along with the flow. We must stand up and fight. And that's what he's saying here in this passage of scripture. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 11. He says stand. It says the word stand means in the midst of a fight, hold your position.
Amen.
And I don't see anywhere to change our position.
That's right.
We've given in and given in till there's nothing left to give.
Let's
stand for what's right. Let's nail it down that God said it in his word and stand upon those principles.
Amen.
Whether everybody likes it, that'd be great.
Yep.
But we know everybody's not going to like it.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're not very passive.
Yeah.
They're pretty much in opposition
yep.
to everything that God says. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers of rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, beloved, we are fighting against the devil. Verse number 13 says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The word withstand means to set oneself against, to resist, or to oppose. And the devil's had his way in this country for a long time.
Yes, sir.
The preachers are the problem.
Yes, sir.
Once in this nation, at least the preachers kept the sin at bay. Not to say everybody was godly and everybody was holy and everybody loved the Lord. Not to say that at all. But the preaching of the Word of God kept a lot of sin at bay.
Right.
But they quit preaching for
yes.
the most part.
Right.
And now those sins have come to the forefront of our nation and now not only even accepted but promoted
right.
and paraded
right.
down the city streets
yep.
and we're paying for it. The churches have become so mealy-mouthed and quiet that they have no influence in the communities or in our country any longer. But Paul said here, he said we must withstand in the evil day. Withstand!
Amen.
Paul did that very thing. He fought a good fight. He not only fought against things, he fought for things. But in fighting for things, you fight against things. In our scripture text, look at it if you will please one more time. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is our scripture text. But in chapter number 3 he says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. And then he gives that whole list of things right there in that passage of scripture. But then he gets down to verse number 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There he mentions the Holy Scriptures. Paul was a man that preached for and promoted the Holy Scriptures. Look what else he says in that passage. Which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's preaching for the scriptures. He's fighting for the scriptures. Brother, we are in a battle for the scriptures. So, well, there's lots of, I heard the other day, the Bible's still the number one seller of all books. But I'm telling you, which Bible? Or so-called Bibles. You mentioned the King James Bible and it's a fight.
Yes, sir.
It used to not be that way.
No.
But now it's that way, beloved.
Yes.
Paul fought for the scriptures. It says in verse number 14, he says, to make thee wise to salvation. Paul fought for salvation the correct way. He didn't give in. He said, all right, you can mix some of that Judaism with Christianity. It'll be all right. Oh, no. He never said that. He denied that.
Right.
He fought against that.
Right.
And about every church he had to deal with something.
Yep.
It's a shame, but that's just the way that it is. I'm telling you, Paul fought for some things. He fought. He said, I have fought a good fight. So I encourage you this morning, if you're not in the fight, if you're just passive, if you're just sitting by and watching, I encourage you to get in the fight. It takes our money, it takes our efforts, it takes our time,
yep.
it takes our devotions,
yep.
every aspect of us. I saw them children coming up here giving this morning, and they do that at our church. And I thought, man, how happy they look.
Yes, sir.
I mean, buddy, if we can give like that.
Right.
You say, well, they're not giving their own money. Daddy gave them money. Well, can I tell you, our Father gave us the money.
That's right, amen.
I mean, he's the one that gave it to us in the first place. So we ought to be cheerful.
Yes, sir.
Just like them children.
Yes.
Watch them next time they have
yeah.
offering. Watch them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're excited.
Yes, sir.
They're happy about it. Everything about us ought to be involved. A man that goes to war, he leaves behind his family.
Yeah.
He leaves behind his land and the ones he loves dear. And he marches into the worst case scenario you can think about. Well, we ought to be willing to do the same
right.
for the Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
our songbooks have songs about fighting. Onward, Christian soldier.
Amen.
Some of the song we sang this morning, they hold the fort. It's got some aspects of that in it. We sing songs, Keep on the Firing Line. That's a song about battle.
Amen.
And Nehemiah said, this is what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:14. He said, fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Fight for them. Fight for them. I know one preacher, and if I named his name, you'd know who he is. He said, Brother Randy, I'm no longer fighting for me and my wife. I'm fighting for my children and my grandchildren. Because what in the world are they going to face if things keep going like they're going?
Right.
I went to an old preacher's funeral one time. There was probably 800 people there at that funeral. I don't know. It was packed. I had to stand in the back. And one of the preachers got up and talked about what a soldier he'd been, how he'd fought a good fight. And at the end of it, he sang an old song. And the chorus says, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown.
Amen.
Yes, we
Amen.
Shall wear a crown. Oh, yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's what's about to happen here to Paul.
That's right.
And I wonder, as we look around at the circumstances and of our churches, the circumstances of our country, and even our own lives, have we come to the conclusion we're in a fight?
Yeah.
They used to say, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.
You know what that means? So you can fire.
Right.
They used to have all kinds of sayings, but nevertheless, Paul has said this one statement that I hope you'll understand what I'm trying to deal with this morning. He said, I have fought a good fight.
Amen.
May God help us to finish that way. I don't want to finish say I deserted.
Nope.
I quit. I just watched everybody else. I stood off in a distance and watched them fight the fight. I want to be involved. May the Lord help us this morning.
Amen.